You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. The views and opinions expressed by the show host, their guests, and individuals that call into the shows are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Eurofolk Radio, its staff, or its affiliates. Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control. My sugar was out of control. Waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. Years we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
night, you soldiers of Yahweh. This is your wake-up call. And the title of today's sermon is Vision Problems. They had the same vision problems right after Christ's ascension that we have today. There's a great similarity between the two times. A lot of people are having their vision clouded today by all the hammering that we're taking in true Israel. The assault, the genocide, the lies, the deceptions have interfered a great deal in the clear view of what's coming, what's going on, what went on before. They get all muddled up and muddied up. Well, I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll comment on that as we go through, and I'll show you the vision problems they had then and how it relates to now. Maybe perk you up a little bit. We all need a little bit of that every once in a while. We have some tough times, and it's getting tougher as we go through the time period toward the end. It's rapidly approaching, and we're under heavy assault, and despair creeps in. Well, maybe this will help a little bit. Let's get into this. I'm going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to comment as I go through. Take a little sip of coffee every once in a while. This is being recorded in the wee hours of the morning when things are quiet in my building here. And I asked the Father for a sermon, and he gave me this. Took me to Corinthians, and this is really uplifting if you really listen to what Paul says here. Let's get started, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. But brothers, I make known to you the good news. Now that's gospel. That's where we get the gospel. Well, it's gospel. It's good news. Which I brought as good news to you, which you also did receive, and in which you stand. Well, today we're standing in the hope and promise of Yeshua Messiah. Okay? That's our only hope. Verse 2. Through which also you are being saved. That's preserved, redeemed. And they got this heavy-duty little two-letter word here. If you hold fast that word I brought as good news to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. In other words, if you don't stay true to the word and the commandments of Yeshua Messiah, you've wasted your time. Okay? Verse 3. For I delivered to you at the first that which I also received. What he got through the Holy Spirit, he gave to them. That Messiah died for our sins according to the scripture. He was the final sacrificial lamb. The Lamb of Yahweh, whose blood covered over our sins in propitiation for all time, if we stay true to him. And if we don't, we've wasted our time. It said you believed in vain. Verse 4. And that he was buried, put in that tomb with that great big rock in front of the tomb that men couldn't move once it rolled down into that trough that was to hold it. It was immovable by men. and that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. And the angel, the mighty messenger of Yahweh, rolled that stone back. And that messenger was seen doing that. Okay. Now, they were very disheartened at that time because their leader, the beloved one, had been slain. And he knew their hearts and that they would be disheartened. Verse 5. And that he was seen by Kepha, then by the 12. Kepha means the rock. Petrus, okay, Peter. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brothers at one time, of whom the greater part remain till now, but some have fallen asleep. That means they're dead in their earthly bodies due to persecution and murders and natural causes and whatever. But these people were still alive as witnesses. Verse 7. After that, he was seen by Jacob. That's Jacob. Then by all the emissaries. That's the 12. All the ones that were to go out to the nations in dispersion and preach this good news. Verse 8, and last of all, he was seen by me also, as if to one born prematurely. Verse 9, for I am the least of the emissaries, who am not worthy to be called an emissary, because I persecuted the assembly of Elohim. You can reference Acts chapter 8, verse 3 on that. He was a Pharisee and was very zealous in persecuting the early assemblies until his conversion on the road to Damascus, when Yeshua appeared to him and just devastated all his concepts, and the truth flooded into him through the Holy Spirit, and he was a firm believer and a zealous advocate for Yeshua. Verse 10. But by the favor of Elohim, I am what I am, and his favor toward me was not in vain, but I labored much more than they all. Yet not I, but the favor of Elohim with me. The Holy Spirit had him do all those things. Well, we are what we are by the grace of Yahweh. Those of us who believe, be happy that you're capable of believing, because so many out there are not called. They've hardened their hearts, and Yahweh has rejected a great many people. He's starting to call the herd. If you're a believer, take hope in that. Just the sheer fact that you believe is a blessing. Be happy. You've got the good news. Okay? Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaimed and so you believed. They all preached and they reached a lot of people. Well, there are preachers today that are teaching the truth without the distortions of these Judeo-Christian churches. And people are believing, and our belief system, Christian identity, is growing because it is the straight gospel. It's not muddled up with all this doctrinal stuff that the churches have inserted. Verse 12. And if Messiah is proclaimed that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How can you say that? That's what he's asking them. Verse 13. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Messiah has not been raised. Verse 14, and if Messiah has not been raised, then our proclaiming is empty and your belief also empty. You're doomed. You're dying your sins. If he wasn't raised, and he was seen to be raised, okay, by all these people. This is not just Paul saying this. This is the witness of all these people. And we are also found false witnesses of Elohim because we have witnessed of Elohim that he raised up Messiah. We have witnessed of Elohim that he raised up Messiah. They saw it. Whom he did not raise up, if then the dead are not raised. That's the promise that he says he will raise us at the last. So if we fall asleep or die here in these bodies, and we are a believer and a follower and a doer of the word, we've got that resurrection coming. We're not going to just lay in a rotten body. Our spirit will be sleeping. We're not going to know anything until the time. But our soul, our spirit, the real us that lasts forever, is not going to be destroyed. Not so for the enemies of Yahweh. Their spirit will be destroyed. All right. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, then neither Messiah has been raised. Verse 17, and if the Messiah had not been raised, your belief is to no purpose. You are still in your sins. He's the only hope. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Messiah have perished. They're dead. That's it. It's over. Because if this isn't the truth, and they're witnesses to the truth, and they're telling us the truth, if you don't believe that, then there is no hope. You become like a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow, you just die. That's the end. And we know if you really examine yourselves, there's a lot more to us than these temporary flesh temples that we currently occupy. There's something greater in us than just this flesh. That's for sure. Verse 19, if in this life only we have expectation in Messiah, we are of all men the most wretched. Okay. We're persecuted. They hate us. Verse 20. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead and has become the first fruit of those having fallen asleep, those that have died. The first fruit of resurrection. Okay. Because they killed him, he allowed that body to suffer death. But then, being divine, he took up his life again, and he was the first fruits of resurrection, which is the promise given to us. We will follow him in that resurrection. Okay? Verse 21, for since death is through an Adam, or a man, okay, resurrection of the dead is also through a man, or an Adam with a capital A, okay. Verse 22 actually says this, for as all die in Adam, okay, so shall all be made alive in Messiah. He is the second Adam. The first Adam brought death into the world by his sin. The second Adam, Yeshua Messiah, brings life. That's the whole deal. He brings life to us because we lost our eternal life when Adam sinned. We became mortal beings instead of divine. Well, we will regain that divine status, that immortality, in the new bodies that we're going to get when Messiah returns. And if we're in these bodies and he's here, and we are lucky enough to see the return, these bodies will be changed. I'll get into that later in this chapter. Verse 23. And each in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, then those who are of Messiah at his coming. Those that are sleeping, those that are still alive. Okay? The dead will rise first, then the rest of us will be transformed. We're not going to be stuck in these bodies that fall apart. They will regain their immortal status. Verse 24. Then the end, when he delivers up the reign to Elohim the Father, when he has brought to nothing or naught all rule and all authority and power. He's going to wipe out all these earthly sinful satanic governments. They're doomed. They don't think they are because they're not believers. So the heck with them. Don't worry about them. Yahweh's going to deal with these people. Harshly. Okay? Verse 25. For he has to reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. That's the second coming. That's what's going to happen. He's coming with mighty messengers and a flaming sword. So all these so-called powerful leaders and these people with all the money, and they can persecute and kill us and genocide our people, they're going to get theirs. They're being given enough rope to hang themselves right now. So don't trust in what Trump says. Trust in what the Word here says. Trust in this. The last enemy to be brought to naught is death. We won't suffer death anymore. That'll be done. We won't have to have testing. We've run that race and we've come through. Verse 27. For he has put all under his feet. That's Psalm 8, verse 6. But when he says all are put under him, it is clear that he who put all under him is accepted. Verse 28, and when all are made subject to him, that's Yahweh, then the Son himself shall also be subject to him who put all under him, in order that Elohim be all in all. The Father will reign supreme. All sin will be destroyed, and he will be able to be in the same realm that we're in without destroying us with his perfection. Verse 29. Otherwise, what shall they do who are immersed for the dead if the dead are not raised at all? Why indeed are they immersed for the dead? Read 2 Maccabees chapter 12, verse 44. And here we go, verse 30. And why do we stand in danger every hour? Because they were persecuted even unto death. They wanted to kill these disciples. Well, they want to kill us today, those that preach the truth. We stand in danger every hour. All the disciples were beheaded, all of them. That might happen to us. But I don't care because I'll be back. If they kill this body, so what? They can't kill my spirit. My soul lives in Yeshua Messiah. So does yours if you're a believer, regardless of what happens to your earthly body. It's going to wear out anyway. Okay? They all do. But you'll receive a new body. There's a lot more to us than just this flesh. Trust in that, if nothing else. Verse 31. I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Messiah Yeshua, our Master, I die day by day. That's die to sin. I die day by day. I have to die to sin. Okay. Verse 32. If, as men do, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, of what good is it to me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's Isaiah 22, verse 13, and 56, verse 12, and 4th Maccabees, chapter 9, verse 28. Verse 33. Do not be led astray. Evil company corrupts good habits. 4th Maccabees, chapter 9, verse 22. Don't have evil companions. I mean, if you're a Christian, you can't keep hanging around with the people that are out drinking and whoring and drugging and doing all that stuff. It's going to corrupt you. You need to walk away from them. If they're not going to follow in Christ, you have to separate yourself from the world, and that means the people that are doing what they're doing. Verse 34, wake up to soberness. Righteously, and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of Elohim. I speak this to your shame. Because those were those that were going to church, but then they were living in the world. Well, it's the same today. They'll be right up in the amen pew. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Oh, that's a wonderful sermon. I'm going out to the golf course and bet on the game. Boy. Verse 35. But someone might say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Well, you don't see it yet. It's not of mankind. It's not our science that raises the dead. It's Yahweh's power, and there is nothing beyond the power of the Father. Verse 36, senseless one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. You have to sow the seed in the field. It's good living seed, and it dies as living seed, and there's a process within for the little spark where Yahweh wakes it and it becomes a plant. You can't do that. You can't force that, but Yahweh can. Verse 37. And as to what you sow, you do not sow the body, which is to be, but a bare grain. It might be wheat or some other grain. Verse 38, but Elohim gives it a body as he wishes, and to each seed a body of its own. A little tiny grain, you put it in the ground, and it's in the moist earth, and it sprouts and becomes a big plant, and bears fruit of its own. And we're supposed to bear fruit too. Fruits of righteousness, fruits of repentance. We are to be fruit-bearing, okay? And the fruit is witnessing and bringing others into the remnant, the ones that Yahweh calls. People need to hear this, and it's up to us to tell it to them. And we suffer persecution and even death because of that. They're killing Christians all over the place. They hate us. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. Okay? You don't mingle the flesh of mankind with the flesh of beasts. No race mixing. Verse 40. And there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the esteem of the heavenly is truly one, and the esteem of the earthly is another. Verse 41. One esteem of the sun, and another esteem of the moon, and another esteem of the stars, for star differs from star in esteem. Some stars are brighter than others, you know. It's the heavenly body. They're all different. The sun has one purpose, the moon another purpose. The stars have another purpose. Verse 42. So it also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. The body has died for some reason, whether disease or old age, it just wore out. So it's dead. It is raised in incorruption. The new body that you will get won't grow old, you won't lose your teeth, you won't have to wear glasses. You won't be hard of hearing. You won't walk with a limp. You will be restored to your divine state if you are one of the remnant. If you're not, well. Verse 43. It is sown in disrespect. Because it's imperfect. It is raised in esteem. In other words, it will be a glorified body. Not the body like we have now. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. You see, the great big football players. Big, strong, giant size people. Their body eventually is going to break down and they're going to fall apart just like everybody else, just like some little guy. All these bodies are going to fall. It's planned obsolescence. They wear out. I'll testify to that. Mine's wearing out. But I'm still at it. My spirit's still in it. So... Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And he tells us clearly in verse 44, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. That's the second half of that verse. It's different. It's not the same. Verse 45. In this Genesis 2:7, okay? And so it has been written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, endowed with the Holy Spirit. It had the Spirit of life breathed into it. The last Adam, that would be Yeshua, Messiah, a life-giving spirit. He gives us our eternal life back if we follow his commands. If, that terrible two-letter word. Got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Verse 46. The spiritual, however, was not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. He breathed that Ruach Kadosh into Adam. He gave that to him. That was a gift of Yahweh to the father Adam, where we all came from, our race. Okay. Verse 47, the first man was of the earthy, or of the earth, rather, earthy. The second man is the master from heaven. That's Yahshua. The first Adam brought death into the world. The second Adam, which is Yahshua, brings life into the world. Different process. Verse 48, as is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Okay? It's different. It's different. While we're in these earthy temples, we are subject to corruption. The new temple which we will receive to house our soul will not be subject to corruption. Verse 49. And as we have borne the likeness of the earthy, we shall also bear the likeness of the heavenly. We're earthy right now, but we're going to be transformed into divine beings again. We will bear the likeness of the heavenly. We're not going to stay falling apart like we are right now. Verse 50, And this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood is unable to inherit the reign of Elohim. We cannot be in his presence because we are imperfect. It would destroy us to be in the presence of Yahweh. If he were to appear and manifest himself totally here, that's why he didn't show himself to Moshe. Only the hinder point, a little glimpse. Because it would have destroyed him. Because Moses, was corrupt, like we're corrupt. Okay, we've got earthy bodies and they're going to fall apart. All right, verse 50 again. And this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood is unable to inherit the reign of Elohim. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. We're not capable of eternal life in the bodies we have right now, but Yahweh can change them into new bodies. Aha! Verse 51. See, I speak a secret to you. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, not everybody's going to die that first death. Some of us will see the second coming. We shall all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, that's when he arrives, and we, as the army of Yahweh, will be with his mighty messengers and will participate in the destruction of the wicked. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yahweh can reconstitute bodies. If he created them in the first place, he can reform them. No problem. An incorruptible temple to put the soul back into. And our bodies will be changed into incorruptibility to house our souls. Verse 53, for this corruptible has to put on incorruption, and this mortal to put on immortality. How much plainer can you get than that, brothers and sisters? We can't see. We have vision problems right now, seeing past all this garbage that's going on in the world today, and all the persecution and death and hatred and all this stuff toward us that believe in Yeshua, that want to obey and follow him. And it's hard for us to see, because we're subjected to all these things, that the Father has all this in hand, and he's going to deal with this wickedness. Oh, that's hard to see sometimes when you're suffering, okay? And a lot of us are suffering. Got family members that are giving us trouble. Family members that we love that are getting in trouble in this world according to the laws, or they're doing wrong, or they're living a sinful life, and we care about them, and it grieves us to see our loved ones self-destructing. But they have to make a choice too, see? And that's hard for us to handle, because perfect justice and perfection is beyond us. We have vision problems. We can't see it sometimes. And that's where our faith comes in. We have to trust, and we have to obey, and we have to realize that there are things that we cannot control, and the divine being is so much bigger than we are. We cannot think only on our earthly terms. We have to let the Father do what he's going to do, because he sees all. He does not have vision problems. We have vision problems. We can't see the total picture. We can't see the total ending sometimes. And we get down because of the wickedness in the world. It's understandable. I'm subject to that too. And I'm a preacher. It's hard on all of us. You're not the only one that gets depressed and wonders when it's all going to end. It's going to end when Yahweh says it's going to end. He's going to deal out perfect justice. And we just have to let him do his thing. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Talk so much, my throat gets dry. I really get into this. This word is so magnificent and just leaps out and speaks to you. Verse 54. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall come to be the word that has been written: death is swallowed up in overcoming. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. Swallowed up in overcoming. The overcomers, Israel, you shall overcome or persevere with God. That's what Israel means. We are the overcomers. We have to keep our faith. Verse 53. O death, where is your sting? O Sheol, that's the land of the dead and its inhabitants. Where is your overcoming? That's Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. We will no longer be subject to the sting of death. We will not. If we are translated and given that eternal life, we will not see that second death. That's only for the remnant of Yahweh. will may suffer the first death. I could go in and take a nap and not wake up. Could happen any time. I've had a heart attack. Yahweh has healed me. I'm in great shape. That's His blessing. That's no doing of mine. That's the Father's doing. He wants me to do what I'm doing. And I need to do it with enthusiasm. And I have to pray and ask to be given these messages because I get down here in this world too. This world really is depressing. There's so much going on, so much evil and wickedness, and just it's overwhelming at times, isn't it? You know that. I know that. We see what's going on. We see what's happening to our people. We have stuff happen to us and to friends and to family. This world cannot be all that there is. Why would you want eternal life and be in the world like it is right now? Ugh. Going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to destroy all this wickedness and change all this stuff and change us so we can live in that new world. That's the whole deal. Verse 56, and the sting of death is the sin. When we break Yahweh's laws and deliberately go against our Father, that's death. That's spiritual death. And that's the only part of us that's gonna keep on keeping on is the spiritual part. We'll be given a new temple to live in, but without that spirit, nobody can live. If the spirit is removed from the body, that body just falls over. And the sting of death is the sin, and the power of the sin is the Torah. It gives us all the stipulations as to what is sin, how to live, what to do, and what not to do. Verse 57, but thanks to Elohim, who gives us the overcoming through our Master Yahshua. That's the only way that we can overcome. Master Yahshua Messiah. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Master, knowing that your labor is not in vain with the Master. In the Master. Okay? That's the only hope we've got. And that ends chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. That tells us that we do have hope, even though there's all this nastiness going on around us, and we're sort of stuck right now in this wicked world. Remember the Wicked Witch of the West? Oh, my wicked, wicked world! Oh, I'm melting! Oh, is that prophetic? The wicked, wicked world! Well, that's where we're at right now. Wicked, wicked world. That's it. We're in the wicked, wicked world. We're not going to stay there. The wicked, wicked world is going to be destroyed and changed. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth that we can inhabit. We won't be earthly bound. We won't be able to go anywhere. We won't be stuck in these bodies that break down and the eyesight fails and the teeth fall out and the joints ache and all this stuff that we go through as we age and all this age. Come on now. I'll be I'm going to be 73, just a little bit. Eli's just about a year older than I am. And we're both going strong. Eli works every day. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm going to be free here from this legal system very shortly. And then I'm going to move over with Eli, and we're going to travel everywhere, and I'll be able to do public speaking at rallies and things. And we're going to get the broadcast center set up and books published. We're going to have our own printing house. Just waiting, you know, waiting on the time when is right, and I won't get in any trouble for leaving. I'm going to be leaving Kentucky and moving elsewhere to a place where we can work together on all these projects. And I know the EFR listening audience is enjoying the new system that we've got. Paul English is working very hard and getting all this stuff done. And we do what we can. Most of the people that are involved are older generation. I know I'm in my 70s. Eli's in his 70s. We're not considered rosy faith youths anymore. But we're not done. We're strong in the faith, and that's what gives us our strength. The Father gives us our strength and preserves us and heals us and blesses us. And we want you to have hope, too. We want Him to bless you, and that comes through your behavior and your fervent prayers to the Father to help you. I know everybody sins and we all make mistakes. You can't eat yourself up and beat yourself up. You just have to go back at it and try harder. And the Father will help you if you ask Him. That's the main deal. He's just wanting to hear from us, okay? Don't be incommunicado with the Father. Talk to Him. He's your Father. He loves you. He loves us all, and it bothers Him when we ignore Him and when we disobey Him. If you had a son or a daughter and they were disobedient and rebellious, it would bother you, because that disobedience and rebelliousness, when you tell them what's good for them and try to help them, and they rebel against you, it hurts them. And you don't want to see your children hurt. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want to see us hurt either. Not only is He a divine being of love, He's also a divine being of justice. And we have to remember that. If you had a son that was a despicable, murdering, child-touching devil and went over to the dark side, you're going to have to face the fact that justice is going to have to be done to that child. You can't love the child more than you love the Father, because that will doom you. It will. You have to love the Father and Yeshua first. More than family. More than the stuff that you've accumulated in the world. More than anything. You have to put Yahweh first. And that's difficult to do at times because of the pressures of the world. We have vision problems. We don't see clearly sometimes. Me too. I'm not exempting myself. I get crossways sometimes. and I have to ask for forgiveness, and then I have to go redo something, change my pattern, and chastise myself because I've done something against Father or whatever. And that hurts me because I love him. Like, he loves me, but he loves me so much greater than I can possibly love him, because I'm just a small little speck. I'm small. Oh, I know, they give me a title. Oh, Pastor Steve. What's that? What? I'm subject to the same pressure and the same faults as everybody else. And if I get to the point when I think I'm not subject to the same, that's going to lead to my downfall. I can't have that big ego. Nah. And I'm going to have to work in this world. I'm not promised a free ride. I'm not going to live off the word. I do this as a volunteer because I care. I don't get paid for this. And I shouldn't expect to be paid. And I try to help. That's what EFR is about. It's about helping and spreading the word, spreading the gospel, waking people up to who the real enemy is in this world, so we can combat that. I mean, it's tough. It's tough at times. They are very powerful, and they have the ability to punish in this world. But we can't worry about that, because I've read the end of the book, and we win. So I hope that's cleared up some vision problems out there, made things crystal clear. It has been a pleasure again to be with you. And I'll see you on the next Wake Up Call. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
You better